Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, coming to you, talking about everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We have a big weekend to talk about. We also have to catch you up, as I promised earlier this week on Facebook, about our takes on Mayweather and McGregor, and then Ryan Bader will
McGregor
join.
McGregor in one!
All right, so thanks for joining the show. We will catch you next week. So we'll also talk to Ryan Bader here a little bit later on about Bellator 180. And the show is this time around is brought to you by Celebration Cinema. They are hosting Bellator 180 on many of their big screens. So you can catch that. Fathom Events is putting that on. CelebrationCinema.com if you want to get tickets. We will be at Celebration Cinema North, but lots of the locations are having it. So if you want to see it on the big screen, you make sure to do that tomorrow night. Bellator 180.
Don't forget, too, Bellator NYC live at Celebration Cinema North. They've got the new Oscars bar, so you can imbibe and enjoy some great food and some great drinks if you join us at Celebration Cinema North.
Yes, so all of that is happening this weekend, and we will jump right into it because obviously there is no bigger story. And as I told you on Facebook this week, traveling kept us from talking about it in the moment. But we've had some distance, which I think actually makes it better. We can talk.
It's a little better, but honestly, how many times did I ask you if this was actually real? So it's probably good that we gave it a couple days to make sure
right.
This was actually going to happen. Well, I love our buddy Ryan Dempsey. He's been listening to the show for a long time. He does a podcast of his own. But, I mean, he has said this about 30 times. And every time he does it, I go on Facebook. I'm like, do you have an announcement? No, but it's going to happen. Dude, I believe it's going to happen, too. But I wasn't sure if it were actually happening. Like, we have a date and right. We're ready to go.
Right.
And when we got the date, I tried to book a trip. And Eric bailed out, just okay. So everybody knows.
Yes.
Eric bailed out.
Okay.
I was in. I got us in before the stupid hotel rooms and flights went through the roof, didn't I?
You absolutely did, but fail as part of this fail-safe plan of yours didn't really account for having tickets to the thing. So you just wanted to like wander around Vegas.
We get into town and okay. We start throwing around your name, man.
Yes, my name is clearly going to
we'll
get
start
us
throwing
in.
Around Eric Hultgren's name.
Yes.
MMA journalist for many years, former ranker of UFC fighters until that one weekend. Apparently, he had to go on vacation, and he's never allowed to vote again. That guy. We were going to throw your name around.
Remember that weekend UFC when you had four events back to back, and you could only miss two? That
Roger Mayweather probably remembers us.
He at least remembers you. I am sure. I'm sure of that. He totally remembers you.
So it's real now. So that's also good for some of the distance that we've had at this point.
And what is your take on this? Because I posted earlier this morning the odds makers versus other boxers in this arena, which I just think is like is not me giving an endorsement that McGregor in one, as you said 10 minutes ago. But I do think it's interesting that a guy who's never boxed, right, because that's the story you're getting from the boxing community. The guy who's never boxed is not a 3,000% underdog.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, but again, you have to remember these lines for Vegas are not about who they think is going to win. It's how the money's going to move best for the betting odds, and that essentially means if a lot of money's coming in on McGregor, that line's got to move because if, God forbid, according to the boxing community, McGregor pulls this out, the casinos would take a bath with so much money coming right. In on McGregor.
Right.
So he's now a bigger favorite against Floyd Mayweather than, I don't know, what, you put eight boxers on that list?
Yes.
That are now not as favored to win as McGregor is over Floyd. So that all has to do with money. That didn't surprise me at all because you've got the Irish fans, you've got the MMA fans, you've got so many interesting dynamics set up with this fight that you knew there was going to be a lot of money on McGregor no matter what, whether or not you believe he has that 1% chance of even being touched. I love that we have the distance because the discussion quickly went from winning to now the big discussion seems to be people are guessing whether or not Floyd Mayweather is going to be touched once by Conor McGregor during 12 rounds of this fight.
Well, and that's one interesting part. The other one I was talking about earlier this week is that you have fans on both sides of the issue that have not watched the other side. You have boxing people telling you what Conor's going to do, having never watched a Conor match, and you have Floyd people saying what, you know, Conor's going to do to Floyd having never watched Floyd box, right? Which I think is an interesting position to stand and make an argument from. But I've never watched a Floyd boxing match, but I can tell you what Conor McGregor's going to do to Floyd Money Mayweather.
Well, and yeah, and you've got it from both sides. And the funniest thing this week, and I know that I saw that you had saw the tweet as well, is that you've got like so many people asking about like spinning back fists,
right,
and what
right.
happens. What happens if Conor decides to just throw a kick and just knock him upside his head? First off, you can't throw a spinning back fist in boxing. I would love if you could. It's a fist. I don't see why not.
I believe, not to cut you off, but I believe the actual rule is that the punches have to land flat on the knuckles, which is why you can't do the spinning back fist. I believe the actual rule.
So, and again, I get that, but I mean, you know, as somebody coming from MMA, I don't think it's as crazy as a question as other people have asked. I mean, it has to do with the fist. It also has to do with the interesting aspect. I saw a little bit of discussion on this. I believe Colin Cowherd was talking about it with Dana White, was the fact that no concessions were asked for on the part of Conor McGregor. He didn't ask for any rule changes. That, you know, Dana White said the negotiations were some of the easiest he's ever done because he's actually working with professionals who are trying to make money rather than some guy who's pissed about, you know, $5,000 in a Reebok sponsorship.
Right.
When he thinks he could get $50,000 if he can just throw Condom Depot on the back of his trunks. He sat. I don't know if you've seen. Have you seen the Dana White interviews
yes.
where he talked
yep.
about negotiation?
Yeah.
He thought it was going to be really difficult. He thought once his side was done with Conor, oh boy, now here's where we get into it. He said it was the easiest negotiation of his life because he was dealing with professionals who want to go out and want to make money. It was also made easier by the fact that really Conor wasn't asking for any concessions there. And it's not much of a surprise because, I mean, part of this whole dynamic, and it's an interesting one too, because this is where a lot of boxing fans get really out of shape and bent about this, is the fact that this, if it's a Floyd Mayweather win, will break Rocky Marciano's record. And he will be at 50-0 after this boxing match. And a lot of boxing fans don't like that fact. But we knew that was going to be part of this fight. We knew that was going to be part of the dynamic. I said this however many years ago. I didn't know if he was going to come fight Conor McGregor, but I knew he was going to go after 50-0 at some point, and he's doing it in this fight. That's another reason you didn't see any concessions on rules, because he's not going to give Conor McGregor however many millions of dollars, speculation between 80 and 150 depending on pay-per-view, to not get that 50-0 record. So that was something that wasn't a big surprise to me, but a lot of people are surprised about it, because really Conor's going in there with what is essentially no chance, with no concessions, if you look at this in a traditional way.
Yes, but I think there's two things that make this thing a little bit more interesting than just a typical, obviously, a typical 0-0-0 boxer going to fight Floyd Mayweather. And that is, one, if you want to talk technique, it's going to be very hard to argue that Conor has a chance of hanging for 12 rounds with Mayweather. However, what I think is interesting, just purely in tactics, is Conor is used to a circle in the octagon, right, where the square allows him to cut off the ring, which mm-hmm. I think is an interesting dynamic to this fight. That's not to say that I think that Mayweather can't get out of the way of that, but that changes the way in which you work around the ring and what you would call your ring generalship. The other part that I think is interesting will be the run-up to this between these two guys. One of the things that Conor has been a master at is cracking his opponents before they show up. Right, mentally, he just breaks them all before they get in there. The one exception being Nate Diaz, who just is always in that sort of temperament, so it's hard to break that guy. But everybody else, he's been able to get them to kind of get out of their shell and do something stupid to set up what he actually wants them to do.
Yeah, but I get that Floyd's never probably faced that aspect of it before, but to say Floyd doesn't deal in the mind games is a bit of a misnomer.
Well,
and I know you're not quite saying that.
I didn't say that. I just
no,
said...
No, but I mean, that's the feeling I'm getting from a lot of people that are kind of making this argument, per se, about Floyd being able to mentally get there and people posting the pictures. Have you seen the mural?
No. Oh, the one from the gym? Yes, from the gym.
From
yes,
Conor
yes,
McGregor's
yes,
gym. For those yeah. of you who haven't seen it, it evokes that Rocky mural from Rocky III, where Apollo and Rocky land punches on each other, except in this one, it's a big left is the only thing landing, and it's from Conor on to Mayweather. So it's kind of funny. Some of that stuff will probably get under Mayweather's skin, but again, they're both making a lot of money for this fight, and Floyd Mayweather, that's what he's about. He's a businessman, and he knows the reason the talk's not going to affect him that much, I believe, is he knows every single thing that happens in these press conferences, everything that Connor says, everything that happens in the lead up to this fight, no matter how much he's trash talking or trying to get inside his head, is going to make them both more money. They both know that. So I don't know how big of an aspect that's going to be. I find the more interesting aspect of this fight a little bit to do with the size. I know the square is different and Connor now can cut somebody off, but I mean, here's the problem. You've had a guy who's lived in that boxing ring longer than Conor McGregor's been alive.
Yes.
So I don't think the fact that, like, Conor can go, oh, thank God, now there's a square. I can cut somebody off.
I just said it was interesting. It's an interesting dynamic.
It's certainly interesting. Here's the thing I want to know, because we've all seen the training video. What do you think about Conor punching fidget spinners? What is that all about? What is going on there?
I mean, I've read on the internet and watched some tutorials on YouTube that is clearly the only way to prepare for Floyd Mayweather. They've tried the fidget cubes, but they're just not the same. It has to be the spinner. That is the proper way to train for Mayweather.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Here's the thing.
Rubik's cube, then? Is that what you're going with?
No.
Okay, all right.
Well, I'm looking at this situation, and I'm looking at Connor, and you see the training, and he's doing a lot. He's trying to work on footwork. He's trying to do this. He's trying to do that. Combinations, whatever he's doing. I think it's all ridiculous that he's doing this. I think he should go that Bruce Lee route, you know, where he's not trying to learn 10,000 things or 10,000 things he can do in that ring. He needs to pick what he wants to try to do and do that 10,000 times. You know, it's the 10,000. I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who's practiced one kick 10,000 times. There's something that he feels he can do, and it's probably something to do with that left hand. I don't know if it's a quick combination, if it's something sneaking in and around. Whatever he thinks he's going to be able to do, that should be, at this point, if he wants to win this fight, be the only thing he's doing. I don't care about footwork. I don't care about ring generalship. I don't care about any of that. He's not going to beat Floyd on any of those levels. What he can beat him with is one thing that he practices day in and day out for the next 2 months. I don't know what that is. It has to. I imagine it would have to do something with his left hand, though.
Yeah. Yes, I would agree. Do you think it matters if he wins?
If Floyd wins?
No.
Or if Connor wins? To Connor and his career?
No. I mean, no. to any aspect.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's going to be huge if Connor wins.
If he wins, yes. But I mean, the other side of this, which is why I think people are kind of missing the whole point of this, is, as you said a minute ago, it's a business. They're trying to make it. It doesn't actually matter. None of this actually matters. Every one of you who listens to this.
I think it matters a lot, though, if somehow Connor wins. Because I was going to say it doesn't affect Connor a ton if he loses. If somehow Connor wins, this matters a lot. You've got guys like Oscar De La Hoya, who's got the better fight. Dude's been promoting boxing all of his life. He's now given us the fight that we want. That's Triple G against Canelo Alvarez. That's leagues ahead of this fight that's now overshadowing him. And he's bitching about Dana White, and he didn't think Dana would do this and be so close to his date. He's trying to, like, have Christmas 3 weeks after having Christmas. I don't know. I get what De La Hoya is saying, and I understand his frustration. Dana White wants Conor McGregor back in the UFC by the end of the year. He wasn't going to give anybody leeway in that regard. And of course, in this regard, Floyd's only getting older, so he's going to want to have it as soon as possible. So I get that. But if Floyd were to win somehow,
you mean Conor?
Excuse me. Yeah, Conor. If Conor were to win somehow, take all the consternation and all the boxing analysts' trepidation and repugnancy that they have toward this fight, multiply that by not 1,000, not 10,000, by about 1,000,000. I mean, I can't imagine what it would do to the sport of boxing if your best pound-for-pound fighter ever loses to a guy who's 0-0-0 walking into the ring.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he's the greatest of all time, clearly. But if Conor wins, yes, it's a huge deal. What I was asking is not what happens if he literally plays spoiler to not just a human, not just a record, but to an entire industry. More along the lines, like, for people who have said, and I've seen this a bunch this week, is if he loses, does it spoil MMA for everybody? Will we stop watching the UFC and go back to enjoying golf on Sundays? Will it make it that we never want to watch a football game again? Will we never have democracy in the United States? Will all of that stuff come to fruition if Conor McGregor loses against Floyd Mayweather, who, as you said, has boxed longer than Conor's been alive and is currently 49-0?
Well, as a libertarian, the ladder's already gone as far as democracy goes. But,
all right, fair enough. But if I wanted to make America great again, how would I go about doing that?
Here's the thing. As far as MMA goes, there's going to be some people that say, yeah, look, the boxer beat the MMA guy. Well, of course, it's a boxing match. That, don't be ridiculous. But I don't think it's going to affect Conor's MMA career at all if he loses. What's going to affect Conor's MMA career is the fact that he may make $100 million during this fight, win or lose. How do you go back? And look, I love Tony Ferguson. How do you go back and fight Tony Ferguson for like $2 million?
You don't.
$3 million.
You don't.
$4 million. I mean, at that point, what? I mean, he's a competitor. He loves doing it. I don't think that title is going to mean anything anymore. He might still have that rubber match with Diaz, which could conceivably in the $5 to $10 million range. But still, I mean, think about that. That's insanity that he's going to make $100 million possibly with this fight and then go back to the UFC. And it's not because the UFC's not paying what he deserves. They can't. They're not going to be able to do $4 million buy rate on anything that Conor does. It's as big as he is, they're not going to be able to do that. This is a perfect storm in the easiest explain it like I'm five way to say it. These two guys are gigantic and they're due that recognition and what's happened to them because they both put it in their careers. How many years ago Conor McGregor's living off food stamps in Ireland?
Four.
How many years now has Floyd Money Mayweather been working at this 49-0 record? Like 20 years of his life he spent on that record. So they both earned it with their cachet. I get it. Some people say it's not fair and he shouldn't be able to walk in, but the dude busted his ass, Conor McGregor and Floyd Money Mayweather both, to get where they are, to have the recognition they have, and to have the personalities they have. And you've got this confluence now that's never happened before in sports. I really don't remember. I guess the closest you could come would be back when Ali and Antonio Inoki fought. And if you remember that fight, that was a weird amalgamation of rules as well. You know, Antonio Inoki damn near took Ali's leg off with leg kicks. So, I mean, I think that's another reason you're not going to see any change to the rules when a boxer fights an MMA guy. So I get it. There's a lot of hate on this fight, but I cannot take a dime away from either of these guys and the way that they've worked to earn what they've gotten so far. And there are a lot of people that are doing that, though, Eric. They're saying this fight shouldn't even happen. This is ridiculous. This is an affront to my sensibility. You know what? Don't buy it. Guess what? I've already sent them my $100. There you go. That should cover it. Is it going to be another $100? Let me know later. I'll send it to you. I'm going to watch this.
I am with you. I will watch this as well. And I couldn't agree more that one of the most fascinating parts about this, and I've been saying that publicly and privately, is that I am mesmerized, not necessarily about the spectacle of it all, not even necessarily about the fight itself, although I'm interested in both. I am mesmerized about a single human being's ability to use his mind to manifest whatever in the Sam hell he wants to have happen. He's been talking about this for 2 years. 2 years. He's been fighting.
This is Conor McGregor.
Yes.
Because remember when this all started, Floyd really didn't seem to have any interest in this fight.
Maybe, although I'm a wrestling...
Maybe he was selling it.
I'm a wrestling fan, so maybe. But 2 years ago, he started just pining away at this, right? And everyone was like, well, that's stupid or whatever. And then he loses to Nate Diaz. And everyone's like, oh, his career's over. And then he comes back and the fight's even bigger the second time. And he beats Nate Diaz. And then he's pecking away and telling you he's going to do all of these things that you think he's not going to do.
And he does them every time.
Every single time. So to me, regardless of what happens, this is such a stunning study of what a dude can do when he puts his mind to it. And I mean actually puts his mind to it. And then the other part has the skills to back it up. Because that's the other thing he's done at every turn. And even if he doesn't win this, to me, if he can go 12 rounds with Floyd, I think it's almost the same.
And we'll transition obviously into this in a minute, but I thought it was really interesting. Did you hear Chael Sonnen's comments on this fight as he's been doing some of the press for Bellator NYC?
I have not
this
heard
weekend?
It. No, I have not.
Chael Sonnen says it is a disaster for boxing. A disaster for boxing if Floyd Money Mayweather doesn't knock out Conor McGregor in the first round. Because he's the best pound-for-pound fighter in history, and he's going in against a guy that's, the way you said it, 0-0-0. It is a disaster for boxing if Floyd Money Mayweather doesn't knock Conor McGregor out in the first round. Even though that's not his specialty, basically Chael's argument was, it doesn't matter if that's his specialty or not. It's the best boxer in the world going against a guy that's never been in a boxing ring.
And when you look at, and this is not necessarily an apples to apples oranges, apples to apples comparison. It's more apples to oranges. But in the James Toney fight, that's what we wanted Randy to do, and that's what Randy did. He beat him in 23 seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you expected. A guy who was only using two parts of his body should not be able to put up a competitive fight against a guy who can use all of it.
Well, you and I said on this show, however many years ago it was, that if this goes longer in a round, we don't know what the hell's wrong with Randy.
Right.
Like he needs, right. Because, well, and it gets more dangerous too, the longer it goes.
Sure.
In that regard. And that could happen too, this fight when it's coming up on the 26th. So I don't know. I think one of the main takeaways that is interesting here, because you talk about the buildup and how long Connor's been trying to make this manifest itself. One of the things too, that's really happened here is that regardless of the sport, regardless of the promoters, and slightly regardless of the fighters, this fight was made because we kept clamoring for it. This fight wouldn't be made unless there was interest. If nobody buys this thing on August 26th, nobody's going in there. And the fans have been going, yeah, let's see this. Shoot, what is he talking about? He landed. He said he retired Floyd. I don't want to see this fight. He's talking all this garbage about Floyd. Floyd says, I don't know who that guy is. All of these things. More and more and more, the fans wanted this fight. And it actually happened. And that doesn't happen as much in boxing as it should. So it's a very interesting dynamic. When it does happen, it's the weirdest, strangest, out of left field thing that boxing can think of.
Yes.
But it still happens. Because, I mean, like I said, that Triple G Canelo fight, that's a huge fight for boxing. And it's just getting over. It's getting pummeled right now.
And
pummeled. Most people don't know what's happening.
And might actually be one of the first times in recent memory that they're making the bout when it actually matters.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's the big thing, too, because, I mean, obviously Mayweather-Pacquiao was huge, but most people think that fight was 3 or 4 years too late,
yep.
At least,
yeah.
If not more. And the fact that Pacquiao's shoulder was hurt, all those other things. Yeah, this is a very relevant fight, and I'm not a huge boxing guy. I know there's a lot of more fans listening to this podcast that are much more in tune with boxing. But, yeah, like you said, essentially everything I'm hearing, this fight's happening when it should, and that's a huge thing right now. And, you know, it's funny because these guys are doing their press tour and because, I mean, their fight's September 16th. That's not that far out.
Sure.
And all they're getting asked about
right.
is Mayweather-McGregor and Alvarez and Gennady both have said they're not interested in Floyd because obviously they don't want to give this guy more press for this fight coming up because there's a finite amount of dollars and there's going to be a lot of people that buy this money Mayweather-McGregor fight. They're like, I'll catch this Alvarez Golovkin fight somewhere else online or maybe a couple week after on HBO or if it's, I don't know, is it HBO or Showtime? I think it's HBO.
I think that one's HBO because this one is Showtime. So
right. Well, and I think that De La Hoya usually deals with HBO. So I'm not 100% sure on that. But it's really just this weird confluence and, you know, MMA, every fight that's happening this weekend, and we'll transition to Bellator NYC in a moment, everything that's happening in MMA is prefaced and overshadowed, and there's this looming cloud of, hey, what do you think of Mayweather and Connor finally fighting? And honestly, most MMA guys, the smart ones at least, are willing to talk about it because you don't want to shut that down because I've seen a lot of spotlights on dudes I haven't seen in a long time because, well, I want to know what you as an MMA fighter think about this fight that's coming up.
Sure. And speaking of that, it is this weekend Bellator NYC or Bellator 180, whichever way you want to call it. Knock yourself out.
I like the NYC. I always like the names. Me I told too. You that back when the UFC started changing them.
I know. So
I'm just reiterating.
We'll do Bellator NYC then for the rest of the show. So Bellator NYC is coming up this weekend. And on the phone with us right now, Ryan Bader is joining us. He'll be taking on Phil Davis in the sequel, this time for the belt. So, Ryan, how are you, my friend?
I'm great.
Dude, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and you know, it's always interesting because when people make a change in their life, all of a sudden, like, these things go gangbusters for you. And first time in Bellator, actually my favorite place is right before the pay-per-view to get people fired up. Can you talk to me, one, how has the change gone? How, you know, how much better is everything? How are you enjoying the change to Bellator? How's that going for you?
Yeah, it's going great. You know, it's refreshing. It's you know, I feel good. I'm glad I made the switch. You know, I went to my first Bellator event, you know, 2.5-3 months ago. Was treated very, very well, and you know, it was nice. It was a good change of pace, and I'm super excited, and I'm excited for this card. You know, when I signed with Bellator the day after, they came out and said they were you know, fighting in Madison Square Garden in New York, so just reaffirmed I was doing the right things, you know, and here I am fighting for a world title, so couldn't have gone better.
Yeah, and it's a rematch with Phil Davis, and I think, you know, as a fan of yours and somebody who's been watching the sport for a long time, what I'm really interested in this rematch is a couple things. One is your last two fights in the UFC, you looked like a different human being. So I will ask you about like what that change was like, but you look like an absolute animal. So I'm interested in that. And then I'm also interested in, and so this will be the second question, is that first fight was at 4 o'clock in the effing morning, and this one is at a more normal time. Yeah. So what does beast mode Ryan Bader at regular time look like against Phil Davis?
Yeah, you know, it really stemmed from my last loss. I was just flat, and, you know, you can't, I've had almost 30 fights and made a mistake in there and whatnot. After that fight, I was kind of looked within and said, what do I need to change here? And it was not making a big deal about every fight, you know, going in there and having fun, you know, and believing that I'm the best in the world, you know, and I did that after that, you know, and I came out and had finishes over two top 10 guys, you know, and I kept it light in the back. I kept it light in getting my hands wrapped, walking out, and just made it fun again, you know. Got to the point where, you know, it was kind of the same thing over and over and over again at 20 UFC fights, you know, and so this is really refreshing too. So I'm bringing that mentality in, but I'm also bringing in that, you know, I got a new coaching staff, you know, and I feel like I've grown more in the last 6 months here than I've grown, you know, previous to that in the last 5 years. So that, and then, yeah, I mean, the last fight was at 4 a.m. in the morning. I walked out of that fight, and I know Phil said the same thing, but I walked out of that fight disappointed, you know. Even though I got the win, I was like, man, that was And so for me, yeah, the normal time here is, you know, we'll be fighting probably around 9:15, 9:30. You know, if not earlier here, you know, usually the East Coast, I'm fighting at 1 a.m. and whatnot. I've been fighting all over the world, so it's all crazy time. So for me, this is going to be a perfect time. It's like 6 p.m. back in AZ, so that's when I used to train and all that. So I'm feeling good. I'm excited about it.
We are super excited about it. Bellator 180 this weekend, and of course, on pay-per-view, and then all across the United States, it is available in some movie theaters, which I think is one of my favorite ways to see it if you can't see it live. So that's also happening. But let's talk about Madison Square Garden. How important is that to you personally as a fighter, or fighters as a whole, to have a chance to fight at MSG?
Yeah, it's definitely like a bucket list arena, you know, and to be able to, you know, tell your kids that you know your dad fought in that arena and whatnot, and just be part of that history there. And, you know, so I'm very fortunate. I've fought everywhere. I fought all over the world in all kinds of cool arenas, but this is definitely one that I've wanted to fight in for sure. You know, that being said, at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't matter where I am when the fight starts. You're not thinking about any of that kind of stuff. You know, what will be very cool is, you know, winning that title with friends and family in that venue, to be able to say that. And then, you know, walking in the back and doing all your media afterwards with the belt around your waist in that arena and soaking it up at that point. So that's going to be the cool part.
So talking about the fight, originally you were going to fight King Mo. You're now fighting Phil Davis for the title, which is awesome. The main difference, of course, is Phil's kicks. Did that change a lot of the camp, or just some minor adjustments on your end?
Just minor. You know, they're kind of similar. In that first fight, you know, it was a very, very close fight. And you're right, Phil, he throws more kicks. He doesn't like to be in that boxing range like King Mo does, you know, and Mo was kind of walking him down and making him pay for those kicks, you know. Then Phil Davis kind of caught him in the third round, you know. So he moves a lot. He doesn't like to be in boxing range. You know, he has trouble with wrestlers. If you look at his fights, you know, with Rashad, with me, with Anthony Johnson, with King Mo, you know, he's lost those, or it was super close, you know, his last fight with King Mo. So kind of the same, you know, we changed a few things, and we're feeling great, and we feel like we're going to show everybody that I'm a new fighter in there and here to stay and keep the belt for a long time.
I can't even wait to see this. Bellator 180, it is this weekend on pay-per-view. Ryan Bader is joining us. Ryan, obviously there's a lot of other fights on this card. The fan in you, I know you've been talking about this week. What are you most excited to see after your fight's done?
Yeah, that's another thing that's really cool about it. You know, I get to sit back and grab a beer and watch a pay-per-view of it, you know? you know, I'm buddies with Michael Chandler. I was like watching Chandler fight. You know, he's a beast. And then the Larkin Lima card fight is gonna be crazy. And then, you know, who's not ready for, you know, the fights with Fedor Mitrione and Vanderlei and Sonnen? You know, they may not be at the very top of their game, you know, Sonnen and Vanderlei, but people want to see that fight. I really, you know, I pretty much just named everybody on my card. So
I know you're friends with Mitrione, but, you know, how do you think that fight's going to go? Because I think that's the one that people are really interested in from a technical aspect.
Yeah, no, I've got Mitrione kind of running away with that one. You know, he's too lanky, he's too fast. He's going to keep Fedor on the outside, and then when Fedor kind of rushes in, he's going to make him pay for it. So, you know, I think this is kind of Mitrione's coming out party to you know, the fans that, you know, are diehard Fedor fans and, you know, believe he's the best ever and whatnot. So I'm excited for him.
Absolutely. It is.
And I'm a big Fedor fan myself, you know.
Well,
but,
you know, how can you not be? But obviously he's not at his prime right now, right?
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. It's just like the other guys on the card, you know, Vanderlei and Sonnen, I'm a fan of both of theirs, but it's not like that they're, you know, Sonnen when he's fighting for the title and Vanderlei when he was, you know, younger there, you know, but I'm still going to be excited to watch him fight, and I hope to fight him someday.
Absolutely. We would love to see that as well. Ryan Bader joining us. He is taking on Phil Davis for the championship in Bellator 180 this weekend. One more question before I let you go. Are you excited about the McGregor-Mayweather thing or anti the McGregor-Mayweather thing?
You know, I'm for it. You know, I think it's great. You know, getting and good for him. You know, he went out there and got his huge payday. You know, and it's interesting. I don't know how it's going to play out. You know, I have obviously Mayweather winning in a boxing fight, but, you know, how does it go? Does Mayweather stay back? You know, and kind of carry him a little bit, and it goes to a decision, or, you know, can McGregor win a few rounds? You know, it's going to be interesting to watch for the spectacle of it. But yeah, who knows? And then if for some reason McGregor can kind of catch him or whatever, that'd be nuts.
It's just mayhem at that point, right? Like, just total mayhem.
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan Bader is joining us. He's got about 812 of these to go, so I will let him go. It is Bellator 180 this weekend on pay-per-view, and you can catch it in the movie theaters. Ryan, always a pleasure to talk to you. So excited to see your hand raised this Saturday. Go have fun. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
And there he goes, Ryan Bader, to go take on Phil Davis. And as I said a couple minutes ago, I just think he's currently a different human, and I actually feel fear for Phil Davis's life right now.
Well, it sounds like he is in a good place right now. And it's interesting, too, because we've got a couple championship fights on this card. Obviously, Bader and Phil Davis, they both were in the UFC, but still, Davis is the Bellator champion. You've also got Lorenz Larkin. I've heard him talking this week about how they really like how things are going in Bellator, which really makes you wonder, is this a serious competitor that could be moving up the ranks? Obviously, neither of these guys were the top guy in UFC when they left, but they're pretty solid guys. You've got Rory McDonald over there now. You've got a lot of interesting things happening over in Bellator right now. So, you know, usually a guy doesn't leave UFC off of a couple of wins, and that's what happened with Lorenz Larkin because he's got a title shot in Bellator.
And Bader left. He was on a two-fight win streak.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're starting to see guys, and obviously Rory McDonald, I think he might have still been coming off a loss, but, I mean, he's a big name in the UFC. He was coming off the loss to I can't remember off the top of my head. But, I mean, obviously, this is a very interesting dynamic. And one of the things I really like about this card, because I've gotten into it a little more as we've gotten closer. I told you at first, Chael Sonnen, Vanderlei Silva, you've got my money.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And now that we're going to watch it at Celebration Cinema, we don't even have to spend that much. And we're going to see it on a huge screen. So that's going to be really, really cool. So if you want to join, it's just $15 to get in. The one thing I really like about this card is they're taking all the attention here. And something they haven't done as well in the past in Bellator, they've got this big card where Chael Sonnen and Vanderlei Silva are at the top. Fedor's obviously on the card, Matt Mitrione. But they're basically saying, hey, how many championship fights can we make in this time frame? And let's just do it on this card. So they've got their guy, Michael Chandler, defending against Brett Primus. They've got Douglas Lima in there against Lorenz Larkin. On the prelims, they got Phil Davis and Ryan Bader. That Aaron Pico fight should be interesting as well.
Man, I cannot wait to see him fight. Cannot wait.
So, I mean, there's some very cool fights on this card, so it'll be very interesting to kind of see what happens this weekend. And it's almost like a guy like me, I don't watch a ton of Bellator. I obviously watch some, and whenever you see a big name pop up, I'm definitely going to be there. A guy like me, I get to kind of reset a little bit. I get to see what these champs can do. So if, you know, Michael Chandler defends and he looks impressive, I know who that guy is now. Lorenz Larkin, I think, is going to – I don't know if it's an upset. I think he's actually a favorite against Lima. If last I checked. But let's say Lima beats him. I go, well, I know Lorenz is legit, so this guy's legit. Phil Davis, Ryan Bader, all right, that's their light heavyweight champion. Pretty cool thing. So I really like how they've set this card up. The pay-per-view is a big ask because not everywhere has a Celebration Cinema. So some people are going to have to pay the money for this card, and sometimes that's a tough stretch for people to do. I think they got the guys to do it. I love Chael Sonnen. I want to see him fight. Vanderlei Silva, I don't think, has a chance in this fight. I really don't. I mean, Vanderlei hasn't fought in about 4 years, I think.
Yeah, and he just has not looked very good. And even when Chael lost to Tito, while that didn't look great, I still agree with you. I think we're not talking pride Vanderlei. We're talking very, very past pride Vanderlei. So I got Chael as well. I'm super interested in the Fedor fight because obviously this is a reschedule from when Mitrione couldn't compete. And I just wonder about that one. Not that Mitrione is certainly more athletic. He's lankier and could be a lot for Fedor to deal with. However, there's something about him that I think you've got to get past that allure in order to do what, you know, when you and I watched in Chicago, what Dan Henderson was able to do, right? I think you've got to get
Dan Henderson didn't care.
No, and you've got to not care, and I hope Mitrione doesn't care because, you know, when you hear him talk sometimes, there is some respect paid to Fedor, as there should be, and I just hope that doesn't translate to when the cage closes because he's not a guy to mess around with. And so that one's the big question for me and the one I'm actually really interested in and to see how it's going to pan out because on paper, it should be Mitrione all day, but there's always the last emperor aura that flies over these things that somehow can make it that it doesn't turn out the way it's supposed to be. The other thing I want to say real quickly.
Well, I want to dovetail off that just for a second because of the Fedor thing, because you talked about the Dan Henderson fight. Most of us remember that and Silva and Fabricio Werdum. What a lot of people don't realize is that Fedor has not stopped fighting. This is an instance where, yeah, he's not fighting three times a year, but it's not like Vanderlei Silva. He fought last year and he's on a 5-fight win streak. I didn't even realize that until I went to prep for the show today. I'm like, man, Fedor's not been inactive. Yeah, I don't know who most of these guys are, but you've got Pedro Rizzo in there. You've got Jeff Monson in there. Fabio Maldonado was his last win. That was at something called EFN 50. No idea what that is. I'm going to be honest. But I think it speaks to something that Fedor has actually been active because I think most people who are casual fans are like, oh, yeah, he lost to Dan Henderson like 7 years ago.
Right.
Guy's been fighting. He's been training, and that's an interesting thing for a guy like that, and you've got to wonder what can happen in that fight. I think Mitrione has this fight as long as he doesn't get inside his own head too much. I believe he's going to have probably at least 30 pounds. I didn't check the weigh-ins today.
Fedor's 236 that I saw. I did not see what Mitrione weighed in at, though.
And I know Mitrione usually weighs in around 250-something. I mean, for a while, he was cutting to the 265 mark. So, I mean, he's going to be a decent amount bigger than Fedor, and that's always been something where Fedor's had a little bit of an issue with it. So I think this fight is more interesting than some people are giving it credit for on both sides. There's some people that are like, Mitrione shouldn't be in there with Fedor, and then some people are like, Fedor hasn't fought anybody in a long time, so he's not going to win. So that kind of evens out in both regards, and I find it to be an interesting fight.
Mitrione is 256.6, just for the record.
Is that what he... Oh, yep. Okay. So he's actually cut. He's cut quite a bit.
Yeah. But the
so
one thing I was
leaner
gonna,
and strong, faster.
Right. The one thing I was going to say before we move on to the UFC grudge match on Sunday.
Well, you want to talk about the title matches, though?
Sure, we can talk about the title matches.
I think they're fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to get too much into them.
But the
Lorenz Larkin thing. I think he's going to win, too.
I do think Lorenz is going to win this one, but I think that one's going to be a fireworks. And I don't I know Brent is undefeated, but Chandler's one of those guys that you just don't sleep on, and he's a dude that goes and goes and goes, and I love his chances in that fight. But the thing I'm most interested in, purely from a fan perspective, is seeing what this Pico kid can do. Because everybody is talking about this guy, and if he is any bit as good as we think he's going to be, it will be the thing that people talk about on Saturday night, and almost well worth what you're going to pay for the pay-per-view.
Well, and here's the interesting thing too: they're putting this dude on the main card. And this is the only non-title fight or non-co-main event fight on the main card. And the fact that the guy's he's fighting at featherweight, right?
Lightweight.
So 145?
Lightweight. 155.
Oh, okay. I thought he was going to fight at Feather because I know he's wrestled at Featherweight. Because I would be really excited to kind of see what they could do with that 145 division. Do they have one in Bellator?
This
is where I am on this. I'm like, I don't know what's going on over in Bellator. But this dude is over and over again decorated wrestler. I mean, this guy's a monster inside the wrestling cage or mat or whatever you want to say. So it's going to be very fun to kind of see what he does on this Bellator card that's coming up pretty soon. So I'm looking forward to the James Gallagher fight, too.
Yes.
I mean, you got those guys coming out of Connor's gym, man. I heard an interview with him. They do not lack confidence, Eric. I will tell you that.
No, they do not.
Those guys, there's something in the water in Ireland, man. Those guys all think they could beat the world. And I remember I was listening to an interview, and the interviewer asked him something about, obviously, the Mayweather-McGregor fight and, laid out all the reasons Connor couldn't win. And then Gallagher was simple. He said, he's going to win. I know him. He's going to win. And, man, he's just confident. And he's going to go in there against Chinzo Machida. I think they both studied karate, right?
Yes. Yep.
Kind of that point fighting style. So that'll be kind of interesting to see how that goes. But I'm always excited to see any of those guys that are rolling and wrestling with Conor McGregor on a daily basis, too.
And then on Sunday night, we get to go to Oklahoma City to find out if Mike Chiesa and Kevin Lee can actually pay off on the scrap that they had a couple months back, as they are the main event of a 6-fight main card on Fox Sports 1 this weekend that's kicked off by the murdering of BJ Penn.
You don't like this card, do you?
I do not.
I like the main event, and I don't really like the card. I'll be honest, too.
I think there could be some fights on there
that could be good.
So there's some interesting fights, right? Dominic Reyes, you may have heard of him because he had that crazy head kick about a month ago where the competitor he was going against, he was not in the UFC at the time, was talking trash, and Reyes was the one that head kicked him into next week and is now in the UFC. So that's an interesting fight to watch. Tim Means is on this card. Also interesting against Alex Garcia. I do not, and I've said this for almost a year, I never want to see BJ Penn fight again, ever.
And they're going to start, I think they're starting the card with this, so this could be an ugly start.
They are, and they're coming off of two guys who I think will be fire in Eric Koch and Clay Guida, who are on Fox Sports 2 leading into this. This could be a train wreck, and I don't want to see him fight. I think Dennis Seaver is going to smash him, and I don't need to see BJ fight. I don't care what his coaches say. This is a bad, bad idea. At the top,
Dennis Seaver too is, he can be brutal sometimes.
Well, I mean,
he takes a lot of punishment.
Let's remember, friends, that it was going to be Yari Rodriguez that was going to destroy BJ Penn, and this was the secondary choice. So it's been all downhill for BJ Penn this year, regardless of who he fights. The co-main event, Tim Bosch and Johnny Hendricks, a middleweight scrap for Johnny Hendricks. Again, we said this when he made the move. I love him at middleweight. I like it when he's not doing big cuts. I just when he's healthier, I just think it's a better look for him. That is not to say that Tim Bosch is an easy get past for him. This will be a fight that he's going to have to be all dialed in to get past Tim, because Tim's a guy that I don't know. He's just a guy that you just always have to watch out for, because everyone just goes, oh, man, that guy, you know, and then he does something amazing, right? He lost to Jacare, obviously, but he's just not a guy that I sleep on regardless of his record.
Well, the interesting thing about this fight, too, is because, like you said, you like the move to middleweight, but we still haven't seen whether or not we're going to see the Johnny Hendricks we saw a couple years back. I mean, I don't remember. Did you and I disagree on this? I thought he beat GSP back in 2013.
No, I thought he beat him, too.
I think a lot of people thought would be the welterweight champion of the UFC. In that fight, he obviously beat Robbie Lawler, but then Robbie beat him in the rematch. He was able to win against Matt Brown, but never really got back into that title picture at that point. Had to do that catchweight fight because he missed weight, which kind of led. Actually, he did two fights, didn't he? He missed weight?
Yes, and that's why he's up. That's why he's up now.
He's at middleweight now, and he beat Hector Lombard. But in that fight, it didn't look like the old quote unquote Johnny Hendricks. And some people, and obviously you go to a different weight, that's an adjustment. It doesn't matter if it's up or down, that's an adjustment. Here, I think a lot of people are hoping they see that old Johnny Hendricks. Is this a guy that maybe can compete at middleweight for the title? We'll know a little bit more after this weekend.
And then at the top of the card, you have Kevin Lee, who is on a 4-fight win streak. Mike Chiesa, who's on a 2-fight win streak. But As much as Kevin Lee is a friend of the show, I think Chiesa is one of those guys, just like when we were talking to Ryan Bader earlier in the show, he's one of those guys who's on an absolute tear, and I just don't think that Lee is there yet. I think Chiesa is going to win this one.
Here's the thing, though. Kevin Lee's been drinking that Irish water or something, because he is not lacking in confidence either in regards to these fights. So, and I always love that about Kevin Lee, because sometimes you go into these fights and like, hey, I just want to keep working my way up. Every time you hear Kevin Lee talk, he's talking about a championship fight. He just needs to beat this guy so he can get to the championship fight. He's coming off a couple of good wins. I mean, Chiesa, I believe, is coming off 3 wins as well. So this is a very interesting dynamic here. And the big question everybody wants to know is whether or not Kiesa's mom is going to be in the front row or not.
I hope she is, because Kevin saved her a seat. So
God, I would love if they did something like that, where he walks down to the ring and he upgrades her right there. Like one of those old school radio contests. He goes and finds her and there's an empty seat. You know, and it's like VIP Titus Brand style, where he's got the popcorn and the soda pop and the snacks all waiting with like a little velvet rope, and it says Kiesa's mama on the chair. That's what you got to do.
Yeah,
he's a friend of the show. Can you get him that message?
Set up
a VIP roped off chair that says Kiesa's mama on it.
I just think, man, you know, like, just to set some context, and then we can kind of wrap this one up for the weekend. But like, when you look at the rankings of lightweight, Kiesa's 6, Kevin's 11. In between there is Darush, Poirier and Diaz and Al Iaquinta. And when you look at who Kevin has fought so far, only one of those guys in Francisco Trinaldo, his last fight, is ranked in there right now, where Chiesa is fighting much higher level competition to get where he is. So I just think, you know, his last 2 wins are Dariush and Jim Miller, and he also beat Francisco Trinaldo. So, and Al Iaquinta. So I don't know. I like Chiesa's chances. Again, I think he's a changed fighter and came back rejuvenated, and I'm excited to see this fight. I'm also excited to see the front row shenanigans, if there are any, but I just think that Chiesa's going to take this one.
This is for Chiesa. Did you see the Tommy Toehold bit on Fox Sports?
Yes,
first
I did.
Off, hats. I didn't realize Tommy Toehold had gotten in on that. So
yeah, it was like a year ago, I think, that happened. But yeah.
Yes, I don't watch that much, but that was amazing. That was amazing, where Chiesa was freaking out about everything.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, dig it up online, because I love Tommy Toehold stuff, and I was dying. And all I had was the audio, because I was driving in the car back from Tennessee.
Right.
And I could just hear Chiesa going crazy no matter what. Like, don't talk about my mama or Dr. Pepper. I don't even remember the bit, but it was hilarious. So Tommy Toehold, well done. Give him a follow online as well.
All right. And as always, you can follow along on Twitter and Facebook. Just search WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Wait. Celebration Cinema.
And then this
Saturday
weekend.
Saturday night.
Sorry. Don't forget. Catch us. Bellator NYC Celebration Cinema. You can get tickets online, celebrationcinema.com. And with that, we'll catch you next week.